2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And I shall read. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be at the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant and infallible word.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to wish all of you a happy and fruitful Lunar Chinese New Year in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Traditions expect many of us to visit and render our filial dues to our parents, our elders, and our relatives, wishing them a happy and prosperous Lunar Chinese New Year. But this is a golden opportunity, isn't it? For all of us, including those who are not Chinese, all of us, to send a message of good news and goodwill to all who our loved ones and friends. The scripture text we've just read, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bible, you please turn to it. Paul used the metaphor epistle to describe Christians. We are the epistle or letter. You write a letter? Letter. A letter of Christ. We are the epistle or we are the letter of Christ. In other words, if we are the letter of Christ, then the author of that letter is Jesus Christ. But we are the letter. Corporately and individually. Now look at that passage for a while. And you see that in the first one, verse 1, Paul says that, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? And if you read the passage, you know very carefully, you will instantly sense that Paul's authority, apostolic authority in the Corinthian church, was being challenged. In other words, what is Paul is saying, that you mean that when I come to your church, I must get letters of recommendation, of commendation, who I am, to you, from others, or also from you, from among you? Do I need to have this? Look at in verse 2. And in verse 2, Paul says, you are our epistles written. You are our epistle. Observe that it is singular. Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So Paul says that the best and greatest testimonial letter of commendation concerning him is the Corinthians Christians themselves. Almost so, because we know that Paul was responsible for leading them and bringing them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They became Christians, they became converts of Christ through him. He is only the messenger. And so their lives as Christians, they are the epistle. They are the best testimonial or letter of commendation. That's what Paul is saying here. However, you find that Paul further developed this idea here. He further developed this metaphor further in verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, epistle of Christ, individually and corporately as a church, the Corinthian church is an epistle of Jesus Christ. So Christ, meaning that Christ is the author or writer of that epistle. Now this epistle, Paul says, is not written, he says there, it's not written with ink. Yes, you write a letter, or else you write a letter on a letter writing paper, and always we write with ink and then we sign our name. But Paul says that this letter is not written with ink. With what? See, Paul says he is written with the living, or the spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In other words, Paul is saying that they are living epistles. Living epistles. Not a piece of paper written with ink, but written with the spirit of the living God on fleshy hearts. They are the Corinthian church, or the Corinthian Christians are the living epistle of Christ. So what Paul is saying here is that we as Christians, or all Christians, all born again Christians, all true believers, are the epistle of Christ. You are the epistle of Christ. And the writer of that epistle is not you. The writer of that epistle is Jesus Christ. Jesus signed his name in your heart and my heart, that he is the author, writer of that epistle. You are the epistle. And if Paul used the metaphor that we are living epistle of Christ, it is useful for us to know what are the features of an epistle. What are the features of a letter? Well, first of all, we say that a letter is written on prepared material. Yes, a letter writing paper. And the Lord, you know that the Lord God in the Old Testament wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger on what? Tablets of stone. But later on he revealed through Jeremiah the prophet. He says that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I think Paul knew that. Paul knew the Holy Scriptures very well. He has read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. And so here in the Corinthian church, when his apostolic authority was being challenged, they wanted a letter of commendation from people. And here Paul says, no. God says that they are the epistle of Christ. So in others, we who are Christians, who belong to Christ, because he bought us, are his living material on which he writes his message to the world. And I believe here the message of goodwill and peace on earth unto all men. You are the epistle of Christ, and you bear that message to the world. Signed, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the Son of God. So we bear God's message of salvation to the world. Wherever we go, we directly or silently bear that message of salvation to a lost and condemned world. Wherever we go, people see us. What we do, what we say, how we live our lives. People see us. We are, in fact, living epistle, are we not? Not epistle written in lifeless material. We are living. We bear that message. So others will read us. They can see us, they read us. And preferably they can see the power of that message that you bear in our lives. The transformation in our lives. And that leads us to the next feature that the letter tells us about the character of the writer. Yes, when you write a letter to someone and the someone reads the letter, straight away the person will form a picture of you, a character of you. How true that is. Similarly, we as the epistle of Christ shows who Jesus Christ is. If we are the epistle, they read us, they should see and should know about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We convey that personality of our Master Jesus Christ. We are the epistle of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ signed his name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wrote that epistle in my heart, in your heart, in our hearts. And when people read us, they should know what is the character of Jesus Christ. What is his personality? Who he is? How have we expressed this personality of our Lord Jesus Christ to others? When they read us, were they happy? Do they bless us? And that, as we go on to the next feature, which says that the letter as the signature of the writer, the name of Christ is upon every one of us, and all we do and say bears that signature. Do we not? Every time when we go, before we take a meal, what do? We bow our heads, we close our eyes, and then we give thanks to our Father in heaven. Do you know that people around there, they suddenly see you and then you bow your heads and then they look at you. They'll be strange already. You bow your heads. And then you say something and then they try to hear. And if you are saying loud enough, they hear that you are speaking to your Father, thanking for the food. And I'm sure in my own experience, some of them say that, how come he give thanks to something that's invisible, is God, is heaven, and then he says, actually, he's paying for the food. And sometimes we Christians have been ridiculed by that. But my point is that every time when we do this, we use the name of Christ. We bear the name of Jesus Christ. And then when things happen, and then something that's good happened to us, we say, praise the Lord. And sometimes things that are bad happen to us, we also what? Praise the Lord, because out of that bad thing we know good things may come out from it. We know that. Because we know our God is good. He will not withhold anything that is bad for us. He will not withhold anything that is good from us. He will bless us, as he said. So in everything, whether we drink, we eat, we glorify, or we dishonor the name of God. Because we are the living epistle of Christ. That means it is a great responsibility on our part. A great responsibility. Yes, Peter himself said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Only seeking whom he may devour. Paul also, to the Christians in Thessalonica, also said, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Peter also again said in his letter to Jewish Christians and said, "Put on the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end." And saying that the end of all things is at hand, "Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." We are the epistle of Christ. It's a great responsibility in which we need to be sober, vigilant, alert. Of course, that doesn't mean that you cannot be happy. No, Christians are a happy people. You have peace and joy in your hearts, you know. So our happiness in our hearts passes all understanding, you know. It is not that kind of happiness in which you scream and shout hilarious like a mad guy. No, it is a deep-seated peace and joy, even in times of difficulty. Whatever, we need to be sober, vigilant, and alert. Now that leads us to the next important feature of an epistle, and that means an epistle should be legible. An epistle should be legible. Have you ever received a letter in which you can't even make out what the writer is writing? When I was a young boy in school, I write very well. Yes, I write very well, very nicely formed letters of the alphabet. Beautiful. Today, I can't even read my own handwriting because I am so dependent upon the computer. Everything all typed out. And then sometimes I have to write even these notes I wrote here. You know, sometimes I read again, I don't know what I am writing. At the moment when I write it and scribble it, you see, I know the signification of that word. But after some time, you forgot. You come back again, you forget. You can't read. Now, what is the use of a letter? If I write to you a letter with my handwriting, I think it's going to be terrible. You will have to call me up again. Actually, what are you trying to say? I couldn't read, make out head or tail of my letter. Then it's of no use. Such a letter is of no use. If it's not written legibly, then it is of no use. You know, some professing Christians are about as difficult to make out. The letters are so badly formed that it is next to impossible to get the right message out of them. Now, what I'm talking here is not the literal letter. You and I are the letter or the epistle of Christ. And some professing Christians, it's very difficult to know whether who the writer of that or what is the message. He said, how do we fare? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Let your light so shine before men." That message, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's got to be legible, that legible. And when people see us and read us, they may see the good works of our Father in heaven and glorify Him. But then, sometimes we have what you call blots on the letter. Now, in a letter, suppose there is a blot on the letter. Excuse me. When you open the letter, and there you see a blot, what catches your eyes first? You see quickly, and who is written, what is the name of the person? Or you read the words first? What catches your eye first when there's a blot on the letter? Very easy, isn't it? That blot will catch our eye. Like a piece of paper, blank paper, and you just put one small black dot on that piece of white paper, you fold it, and the moment you open, they don't see the white paper, they straight away see what? There is a blot there. Is it not true that when people see us, do they see all the good things? Do they remember all the good things that you have done? No. They always remember. They always remember, including myself. And it's also sometimes I have to teach myself. They always see what? The blot. Now, if the blot is not removed, it will catch the eye first, the eye of the reader. So the blot must be removed. That's why in our daily sins, daily life we sin, we have to confess. Confess is not enough, actually. It is necessary. It's a necessary step to confess, because by confession you acknowledge what you have done is wrong to God. But you must, the next step we have to do is to repent. 180 degrees turn around, repent and change. One after another, one sin after another. We change, and always change for the better. My point now is that people, we as epistle of Christ, when we have these sins, these faults, they will always see that fault. They will always point this to us. And they will always criticize and charge us by that fault. So there is a need to remove those blots from that epistle. And how do we do it? You must recognize it. You must go to the Lord in confession of our sins and then turn away from our sins. Because the blot is not the author's doing. It is not. We are living epistles. The blot is we. Finally, a letter is known by its handwriting. The style of the handwriting of a letter more often than not tells us of the author of the epistle. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to love one another, and by that, people will know that we are his disciples. This is the style of the Lord Jesus Christ, his handwriting. We represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Even such a little thing as giving a cup of what? Water to a person in need glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that. So we ought to love one another, for the Lord will be glorified Whether we like it or not, we are an advertisement for Christianity. You say, I don't want to. If you are a Christian, you are born again Christian, I don't want to be an epistle of Christ. You can't. You cannot say you don't want to be. You can't. You have to. You are. Unless, of course, you say that I'm not a Christian. And that settles it. You are not. But you are. If you are a born again Christian, you are an advertisement for Christianity. You are the epistle of Christ. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you are. But the fact that you, as epistle of Christ, our letter, the epistle, it can be blurred. It can be so, there are so many blots in that letter. It's of no use. It can be illegible. People can't read it. Or it can be everything clean, legible, and people can read and see the message clearly. That's what we are. Every Christian is an open letter for Jesus Christ. So the honor of Christ is in his followers. Do we not judge a shopkeeper by the goods he sells? Do we not judge a craftsman by the kind of article he produces? Do we not judge the church by the kind of men it creates? The answer to all these questions is yes, yes, yes. Therefore, men will judge Christ by his what? Followers. You see how grave that responsibility, how great and how grave that responsibility that we have. You cannot say that I don't want that responsibility. As I said earlier, you cannot. You cannot say you cannot. Because you have in your hearts, inscribed in your hearts, engraved in your hearts, the name of Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot. Once you are a Christian, you are always a Christian, you bear the name of Christ. His Christ signature is that. Unless you say, I don't have Christ signature, then you are not of his. You don't belong to him. Then okay, you can be any kind of letter, but not the epistle of Christ. So Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth concerning us as living epistles of Christ is a great truth. It is an inspiration indeed. My master, my author and finisher of my faith is Christ. It is an inspiration. You all should have that. My master is who? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an inspiration, powerful. He will be there always for me. It's also a warning. As Peter says that we need to be sober and vigilant. So when we go out into the world, we have an awe-inspiring responsibility of being open letters for Christ and his church. A David Shepherd remarked, the greatest handicap the church has in is the unsatisfactory lives of professing Christians. Let me read a poem to you, written by someone, no names is given. Let me read to you. Not how did he die, but how did he live? Not what did he gain, but what did he give? These are the merits to measure the worth of a man as a man, regardless of birth. Not what was his station, but had he a heart? But how did he play his God-given part? And how did he play his God-given part? Was he ever ready with word of good cheer to bring a smile to banish a tear? Not what was his church, nor what was his creed, but a sinner saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, who is the author and finisher of his life. Had he befriended those really in need? Not what did the sketch in the newspaper say, but how many were sorry when he passed away. I hope this will touch your heart as it touches mine. Convict my heart and convict yours. Let us be who are living epistle of Christ. Go forth with that letter that others may see us and read very clearly who our Lord is and the message, therefore, of salvation, of goodwill, of peace toward all men we may bring and lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word given to us by Paul to the Christians in Corinth. We thank you, Father, and we know, Father, that this is your intent to let us know that we are living epistle of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that the message of Christ as written in our hearts may be legible to all. And all who see us may indeed glorify you and be drawn to you, that they too want to know the transformation, the peace, the joy that are in our hearts. They too, Lord, want to know Christ. And may you use us, Lord, to lead such a one. And we know, Father, that you desire that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And may your Holy Spirit convict and convert such a one. So during this time, this festive season, Lord, be gracious to us. May we be your witness, the witness Jesus Christ to others. And teach us too, Lord, to love one another. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks, in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.